7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 41 of Color of Magic, the gaming podcast where we try to give some exposure to people who just don't normally get it in the minority groups of gaming. I am your host, Daquan Watson, and as usual, I've got my buddy here for all 41 episodes so far, Brian Allen. How's it going, dude, this week?
Going well. As I've said before, other than my wife, this is, I think, my longest lasting relationship, so we're doing well.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. I don't know. I mean, like, I've known you for a while. I mean,
we've known each other for a while. So.
It's been a hell of a run.
We didn't talk, you know, even necessarily every week. So a lot of people can put up with Brian Allen, you know, for a short amount of time.
Not everybody
can be able to do it for almost a year at this point.
That is true. And I've said it before. I am still amazed that people want to, like, listen to me at all after podcast every week, streaming 3 or 4 times a week, my YouTube videos, and then commentary now on top of it. Like, some people are getting, like, 10, 12 hours of content. And more than that, some people are getting, like, 15 hours of content out of me on some weeks. But, you know, I'm glad they do. I like sharing. I like talking. So I appreciate every one of our listeners and viewers that we get for all of our content.
Everybody knows we'll talk, so it's good that we have a podcast.
Yep. But, you know, speaking of people that are supporting us and watching our stuff and enjoying our stuff, got to give some thanks to some new patrons. We had 3 more this past week.
Right.
So, yeah, that's awesome. So, got to give thanks to Andrew Massey, Lost Son, and Josh Swope. So, thank the 3 of you for coming along for the ride. And your postcards went out a little late. I got tied up with some stuff, but they are in the mail already on the way to you.
Because, again, Daquan is everywhere right now, folks.
Dude, I'm trying. You know, but one of the things that makes that possible, and I have to be dead serious here, is our sponsor, CardSphere.com. Like, they support our podcast. They support the stuff I'm putting out on YouTube and Twitch. And they're just generally good guys, you know, and their service is actually good. If you're ever looking to sell stuff, you can name your price. If you're ever looking to buy stuff, you can name your price. And then they do all the work to put people together. You don't literally have to do anything. It's awesome. So cool. Small learning curve to figure out how to use the site. But once you do, man, it is so nice. And the best part is you're dealing in real money. So you get, like, actual US dollars. It's not credit. It's not funny money. It's not points. It's not some weird system where you got to get, like, tickets or whatever. Like, it's just actual cash. You can just withdraw. It's super awesome. But if you haven't checked them out, go give them a look. It's cardsphere.com. And then I have something I want to get into on the soapbox this week.
All right.
I saw a post from a gentleman on Twitter. And I wish I remembered his name. There's a chance. I don't know. I may not be able to look it up. But this guy had kind of went on. I guess he was being bothered because he has a reasonably large Twitch following. And I guess this gentleman had been being bothered by people being mad because they followed him or supported him and his growth. And I guess now they started streaming, and because he didn't automatically jump over and support them, they were getting mad at him.
Oh, boy.
And it was interesting to see how people went back and forth on it, right? Because some people are like, well, these are the people that help get you there, so you should be supporting them. You should be hanging out on their streams and this, that, and the other. But part of the problem, though, is that he's also out there busting his butt creating content. So he's not even going to have all that much time. You know, like, I've been there, right? I have a bunch of friends that are doing content. The best I can do is I share their post. You know, maybe I'll raid them when I'm on. If I see some cool thing on YouTube that they're doing, I'll tell people about it. You know, I do what I can, but I don't have time necessarily with everything I'm doing. And I can only imagine somebody who's even bigger than I am with even more obligations. And the truth is, at the end of the day, if you have to be mad that you have to go out and beg people and just assume you're going to get support, you're not doing it right anyway.
For real.
Because don't get me wrong, like, there's people I have known for 20 plus years in this game industry. But I'm not expecting them to just come hang out in my Twitch stream if they're not interested in what I'm doing.
It ain't ever worked that way.
Yeah. Like, just because we're friends or just because we've shared business or whatever doesn't mean you are obligated to support every one of my projects. Now, I'm not saying, like, just turn a blind eye and ignore everything I'm doing. But just because I supported something you've done doesn't mean, like, it's automatically even got to be the same type of support. But the truth is, a lot of people starting out are just bad.
That too, yeah.
I mean, it's not good. Not good quality. And dude, I've been there. It took me a while to even, like, figure out the best cadence I wanted during a Twitch stream. You know, if you go watch my YouTube videos, I've slowly upgraded my thumbnails. I got a better camera, you know, whatever. Like, that comes with time. And you earn your crowd. Now, don't get me wrong. I get it. Like, if you're trying to break into a thing and you represent an underrepresented group or whatever, it's going to be difficult. Believe me, I've been there. It can be difficult. And I'm not saying you can't expect some level of support or whatever, at least ask. That's fine. But to people to just to the point that they just expected it outright and then were angry at them, like, that's just silly. Like, even between us, like, we're doing this podcast together. I don't expect you to watch every one of my YouTube videos, to come hang out in every one of my Twitch streams. That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, I mean, in addition to all the content we create, we have, you know, we have spouses and families and other commitments. And hey, like to try to eat two or three meals a day and sleep, you know, between 6 to 8 hours.
Yeah. And truthfully, the one thing I will say is the bottom line is, while you have been out there being mad, making all these posts, hitting up these people in their DMs, doing all this stuff, they were actually still creating content.
Yeah.
They were still building up their audiences. Like, if you just take that.
If they're playing the game, they're learning how to play the game better. They're networking in the community. They're, like you said, upgrading their setup while other folks are hating.
Yeah. If your thing is you are frustrated and you have plateaued and your answer is to go out, well, I'm just going to go find everybody I know and just guilt trip them into coming and supporting me, that's not going to do you any good. Because at the end of the day, you haven't done anything to make your content better, to make yourself better, have a better understanding of what you're doing, to learn the craft better. So even if you, it's that whole thing where, like, the idea on YouTube to, like, hey, let's do sub for sub so we can both get a bunch of subs. Like, that doesn't do anything.
No, because they're not going to actually ever come around and watch your content. They're busy creating their own content.
Yeah, the worst thing I've seen is when I see somebody with, like, 2,000 subscribers, but their average video gets, like, 25 views.
Yeah.
So that means the people that are subbed to you don't give a damn. They're not coming back to your page to look at stuff. You're not producing stuff people want to watch. And you've just been content getting a bunch of subs when it's not really making your content better to help make you more money.
Because it's not 1,000 subs. You got to have, I believe it's 4,000 hours of watch time to get monetized.
Yep.
One you got to get to the other. YouTube knows the game. Google created the game. They know when you're glitching the system. It's when you have 2,000 subs and 10 views.
Yeah. But even on Twitch, like, you can get all your friends to come watch. But if your content's bad, nobody's going to click the sub button. Nobody's going to like your follow your stream. People aren't going to tell other people to come watch you because you're knowledgeable in a thing or you have a really creative setup or what any of the things that would make somebody watch. So I really felt for this dude because it's a bad spot because it makes him look bad to a lot of people to say, like, no, I'm not obligated to support you, right? You look egotistical. You look arrogant to a lot of people. But the truth is, that person also earned their spot. There's a reason you went and followed him for 5 years while he was coming up. You know? So I get it. But the truth is, basically, what I say this to say, don't expect things if you're not putting in the time. Like, you really have to analyze yourself, work the system, learn whatever it is that you are promoting, what people like in that business, that industry, that category, and really get after it. And remember, the bottom line is, at the end of the day, people are coming to watch you. When you're on YouTube, when you're on Twitch, social media of any kind, you are the product. And if you aren't putting out something interesting, and my personal view, and I was talking about this last night on stream, actually, is my goal is to give value to you. Whether that's knowledge and how a thing works, or maybe a deck works or whatever, help you have success in the ladder on Arena, to give you information about how things work behind the scenes in the game industry. But in some way, I don't, maybe sometimes just me giving you codes, you can go get some free packs in Arena, you know?
That's valuable. But
people walk away with something from interacting with me, so they want to come back. So they can say, man, the last time I was on, he was talking about this thing I thought was really cool. Or the last time I gave him a deck and he fixed it up, I ended up getting to Platinum for the first time in Arena. Like, whatever it is, but like, I'm trying to give them enough value that they see a reason to come back. And it might just be entertainment.
Yeah, entertainment, you know? Is, you know, that's why we watch both of the stuff we watch. Every now and again, yeah, you probably mix in a documentary. Even a documentary, you know, even good documentary.
But it's giving you knowledge. A documentary is at least giving you knowledge, right? And you, as a comedian, like, part of your shtick could just be making jokes and whatever while you're playing Madden. And people may find that highly entertaining and come back, right? That's a skill you have.
Yeah, I talk about, because, you know, people will ask, like, how do you, you know, how are you able to talk to yourself for 5 hours? I'm playing a football game. I talk to my players the same way I would when I'm watching, you know, my actual team throw interceptions. Like, how, you know, I'm controlling them. Like, how could you throw that? You know, and you is me.
There you go. But that's the thing, right? You develop a thing that works for you and you share that with people. And that's the thing, when you aren't able to get those people and not able to build up your crowd or your audience, maybe you've got to reevaluate what you're doing.
Yeah.
That, and don't expect it to grow overnight. Like, it takes time.
And everybody, the professionals do that. Your favorite comedians went out there. Sometimes they bomb. David Letterman bombed the Oscars. Doesn't mean he's a great, not a great comedian. It's just, nobody is perfect all the time.
Yeah, that's totally true. I mean, one of the people I watch on YouTube occasionally, he does some streaming on Twitch, and he even says, he said for the better part of like 2.5 years, he streamed with like 15 or less people. You know, and then finally things started coming together. He figured it out. He had a breakthrough, and now he's got hundreds of thousands of people between his like Twitch, YouTube, whatever, you know.
And stats that blew my mind. If you've got even 10 people in your stream, because of how hard it is to stream on Twitch and grow an audience, you're already among the top 1% of streamers. Most people never get past the 0 to 2 phase.
Which is so wild to me. So wild. But anyway, that's that. Let's move on to, what did you learn last week, Brian?
This is the most Texas law ever. In Texas, in the event you encounter Bigfoot, it's legal to kill him.
What?
Yeah, Texas has a law that just, in the event you run into Bigfoot, you're allowed to shoot it.
Where did you find this at?
I was looking, you know, for just random Texan facts for another thing I'm doing, and that is apparently legit. And it's not uncommon. California, for example, has laws protecting Bigfoot, which is the most California thing ever. If you run into Bigfoot in California, you can't shoot him.
Dude, I am just dying right now. What? I don't even know what would have led you down that road to even look up just like, YouTube, or man, this is crazy.
I'm working on a character that's, you know, very Texan. So I'm just looking up, because again, I'm not from here. I moved here. So there's plenty about Texas I still don't know. Like, I didn't. I was yesterday years old when I learned about that.
See, I need to go, like, look, because I know, like, up here in the Northwest, there's a bunch of people that just have brand Bigfoot as a thing.
Yeah.
So there's, like, Bigfoot coffee. There's, like, Sasquatch stickers. There's just, like, stuff everywhere. So now I need to know, like, local state laws if I encounter Sasquatch.
One of the things that's so alarming about that is one of the many theories, you know, I follow the Bigfoot stuff. I'm hooked into that. One of the theories is that Bigfoot is a throwback somewhere on the chain of human evolution, which means in Texas, if you run into your caveman ancestor, it's legal to shoot him.
All right. Well, I definitely learned a thing. Definitely learned a thing today. Mine is a weird one. I was debating what I was going to put here. And I think what I want to say is just, like, there are people that still don't understand that it's not appropriate to be passive aggressive all the time, and that it's going to bite you in the butt when you're doing it openly on social media. The reason I bring this up is I believe this was Monday when this happened. The Wizards of the Coast account decided to share the stuff for this weekend. So they put up a promo poster effectively that has, like, the 9 casters that are going to be involved. And says, like, you know, check out the Players Tour final this weekend, blah, 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 right? Which, thanks to Wizards for inviting me, I'm going to get to do some work with them. Though, I've been telling people, don't get too excited. I'm only going to do an hour, really, like, a round or two on Saturday and a round or two on Sunday. I kind of got the rookie shift, but it's fine. But anyway, one of the first posts is a woman who goes off saying, like, well, y'all should get people who actually know how to play Magic or whatever and blah, 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 right?
Wow.
And I'm like, hold up. Now, the first thing is Riley Knight responds, because Riley's just funny, and he's like, hey, I will have you know, I made platinum this month. You know, like,
nice.
Which, you know, proving he does play Magic. Corey Baumeister, who has won Grand Prix in recent history, he's on the team. So he's like, I'm like, that's not a nice thing to say to people in the picture, you know, like.
Yeah.
And then I kind of was like, look, I'm a little bit of a has-been. But, you know, I've played on the Pro Tour twice. I've played in Nationals once. And I put up Magic videos every day on YouTube. So, you know, and not even talking about, like I said, like Corey. We have a couple other people that are, like, pro players on there. Paul Cheon, obviously. Cedric actually has some credentials.
Yeah. We talked about, you know, with Twitch, even people that have achieved your level of success, you're probably a one percenter at that point.
But that's the thing, right? So I'm like, okay, what is this person really talking about?
I guess her favorite caster was not on the list. This probably would be.
Oh, no, it goes deeper, right? So then, after taking a couple of hits, because obviously now you're also talking about a group that all have, like, I probably have the smallest following, well, maybe like the second smallest following of everybody of the 9 people, right? Because you're talking about, like, Maria Bartholdi, who's got her podcast of several years old,
yeah,
you know, and she does some streaming, and you've got Alias V on the group, and you've got Cedric, and you've got Corey, and like I said, Paul, and Marshall, who's got a very good podcast with limited resources, right? These are people with large audiences. So I'm like, you know, people are going to come to bat for their people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to know the bee's nest that you're walking into. So then she responds with, well, they need people who can speak about Magic in a way that's entertaining and understandable or blah, blah, or whatever, right? And again, I'm thinking, I'm looking at the 9 people and I'm going, I think 7 of the 9 or something all have followings between Twitch and YouTube or whatever. So I still don't understand.
Yeah. But and again, that's not the first criticism she leveled. First,
oh yeah,
they don't know how to play Magic. Oh, now they don't know how to talk about Magic. Okay, feels
no. That was literally my response. I said, look, I literally took the quote, took the statement, put it in quotes. Said, you said this. This is what I responded to. Now, if you have a problem with the way some of us speak, our cadence, or something else, that's unfortunate. We'd like for you to watch, but if it's not for you, it's not for you. You know, then at this point, you know, the reinforcements came, right? So everybody, I'm like, okay, well, so for about 15 minutes, it got kind of wild. And then this lady posted, well, when there's people I don't like on, I can just mute it. And it's not that difficult anyway, which first off, if it's not that difficult, why the hell did you say anything to start with?
Yeah.
The second thing is, that was the point I went, that's the issue right there. There's somebody on this nine that this person does not like, but didn't want to own it and was like, well, I'm just going to wholesale say get rid of them and start over.
Yeah.
Because I don't like somebody that's in here.
You're going to back the bus over eight other people who haven't, you know, who haven't bothered you for whatever reason. And we don't know that the first person, we don't know what the backstory is.
Now, the funny thing is, to double down on the passive aggressiveness. There we go. That's the term I'm looking for. Right. They ended up deleting a bunch of stuff. So if you go see it now, it looks like five comments or something because all the stuff chained in got deleted. But then immediately put a post up directly to Wizards retweeting their picture. So like, well, y'all just got an unfollow or unsub or whatever because of the way your casters responded to me. I'm like, okay, cool. Don't need you. I mean, literally, that was all of our responses. I was talking, I'm not going to name names to get other people in trouble, but there was a couple that I was talking to in some DMs, and we were like, yeah, cool. We'll live. You know, I don't know what they expected the response was going to be.
Like, oh my God, we can't, we call the tournament off.
Now, I will say, amusingly, one of my coworkers did get reprimanded. I somehow went unscathed. So I think when everything got deleted, my comments went with it, so none of mine got seen. Wow. So I got away scot-free on that one.
He's Batman.
Yeah. So, you know, it was fun. But anyway, like I said, they're just people. I think it's that whole thing of just sometimes you can be mad. Just don't hit send. Like, people just don't understand still. I don't know why. They just don't. And you're talking about grown up. I get it if it comes from somebody who's like 16 to 21 or something. You're young and dumb and whatever, like, fine. But, like, this person, just guessing based on their stuff, because I looked at their Twitter page and their pictures, and stuff, I would say they're probably, like, upper 30s, lower 40s. Like, you know better.
Yeah.
In theory. Anyway, let's get into some other news here. We had some bad news this week. I don't know if you saw.
I did.
But the Transformers TCG is done. And I feel for that crowd, man, because they were a pretty dedicated group. I mean, they had a good group of YouTubers that put up stuff. They had a couple of really active Facebook groups. I mean, and you know how it is, right? We met each other playing another lesser game, right? We played Raw Deal.
Yeah, we when I saw that, I had this because some of my friends had played Raw Deal, played Transformers, and we're looking around going, is it us? Or are we the destroyers of games? Like, no, it really is just, this shows it. It's really hard to keep games going. Because, I mean, Transformers, huge license. Wizards, you know, if you can pick a company to put your game out, that's the one you want. And still, just couldn't get it done. How hard it is to launch card games.
I think some stuff, because I read through, you know, went and looked at some of the threads on Facebook and stuff, just to kind of get read the room a little bit. And one of the things I think people are missing is that this game actually had some other things working against it that other games didn't. That this was attached to a very large license. And with that, everything was designed for the mass market. So they already has a lot going against it because mass market products have to hit different numbers. It also didn't get displayed regularly with all the other collectible card game type stuff and everything else. A lot of times it was appearing near the other mass market items.
Yeah.
So the target demographic for it, well, the target demographic they wanted is not the target demographic they got, I guess, is the best way to look at it. Like, they're trying to get people who are like, hey, I'm here to collect a Transformers action figure or the new Transformers movie's out or whatever. Maybe I'll check out this card game, right? But the reality is, you should have just been targeting the card gamers and then get the other Transformer fans just by association.
I see.
Because even the way it was designed, you got one oversized Transformer card or robot with each thing, right? But the rest of the cards in the pack weren't robots. So if the average person who collects Transformers or a kid who's in the Transformers or whatever goes and buys one of these packs, well, they're effectively getting one robot card. Now, as a card gamer, you understand, right? As a gamer that, no, yeah, these other cards need to exist so I can play the game. And these are the things we really play the deck or play in the deck that make these Transformers do things. But the average person who's buying it at mass market is going to hate that. Like, they're going to open it, there's one robot, and then the rest of the cards are useless to them because they're just collecting the robots, right? And I think that's what they were working against the whole time. And it's happened with a few other products here recently. And I think, especially when something like COVID hit, it creates a situation where if you have any loss in sales at that point, it just really is going to hit you so much harder. And unfortunately, I think this was just kind of the case. You know, you start looking about how many resources are we going to dedicate to this? How much are we going to keep paying artists? You know, how much shelf space do we have to pay for or get in some retail store? Because that's the thing. People don't know that. Like, depending on what size store or what part of the store you want, you don't always get free space on the shelf. Like, they'll buy your product, but you also have to buy premium space sometimes.
I didn't know that. I was today years old when I learned that.
Yeah. Like, when you see, like, those fancy end caps and everything else, that's not just the store you're at saying, like, oh, hey, we're going to showcase this product. Like, the companies have generally paid to have that premier space so they can move more stuff. So at some point, they have to decide, do they want to do all that? And it's tough because you do get these dedicated fans and these dedicated player bases that unfortunately have invested time in it. And, you know, now that's gone. Especially when it's probably even tougher when you're looking at, man, I'm looking forward to getting back and playing with my friends.
Yeah.
You know, and now that's taken away.
And it was a really fun game, really well designed. I think one of the better Transformers gaming products that I've seen, which also makes it unfortunate. There are some card games I played where, like, okay, you know, after you played it a couple of times, you just look at yourself and say, I'm not going to be sad when this fades away because I don't like it. But
yeah, the game, you know,
was really well done.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think everything about it was very neat. They tried some innovative stuff, you know. The art was cool. So it is kind of hard to see that one go.
Like, with the example we always give is we talked about Artifact, where you look at Artifact on launch and like, yeah, this is dead. This is a
starter. Like, there was no amount, and I had people tell me I was crazy, but I was like, no, there is no amount of hype. There is no perspective you could tell me that's going to make me think Artifact is okay. Like, at least the others, when I see enough people into it or whatever, I'm like, cool, I get it. I'm just in the wrong, whatever. But an Artifact, man, that was a hill I was willing to die on.
Although, in fairness, Artifact 2.0 is still coming. I need to ask you this question because we've probably both seen this several times. Have you ever seen anybody relaunch a game that failed horribly and have it work out the second time? I don't think I have.
Yes, there's a few products. Like, one, the immediate one that came to mind is the Netrunner trading card game.
Okay.
It was originally by Wizards of the Coast back in like 90, I'm probably going to get this wrong, 97 with a question mark. But the license ended up getting bought by, who was it? Not AEG. WizKids? No, that's not right either. But anyway, another company bought the license. And they re-released it, and this was about 5 years ago, and they started putting it out, and they just changed the way it was marketed, so it was like what they called their living card game style setup.
Okay.
So you were able to just buy the set, and it came with like one or two of every card in that set, depending on how it was packaged. So it was pretty neat. It was neat, and it lived, it got a good second run.
And I guess now I think about it, the same thing applies to Versus System. It's in its second run, and it's been out for, I want to say, at least probably 5 or 6 years now on Versus System 2.0. I guess it can be done, but I would have to say, just I don't think either of those two failed as hard as Artifact did on launch.
Oh, off the top of my head, I remember now. It was Fantasy Flight Games, because okay. When they relaunched it, they changed it from just Netrunner to Android Netrunner.
Okay.
I knew I was like, if I thought about it long enough, it would come to mind. I was like, where is it? But yeah, so the toughest thing is, I think some people were complaining because they were like, oh, well, why did Wizards put this out just as, you know, before the next set hits or whatever? And I think, honestly, to me, that feels like a very responsible thing to do.
Yeah.
So if you want it, you know this is going to be the last opportunity to buy it, you can go get it.
Yeah, if you
want, but if you don't want,
you can jump out.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't want to buy stuff for a game that's not going to have any more support, you can also choose not to go spend your money. Spend $100. Well, I guess theirs are a little bit cheaper because of the way they're packaged, but they're like $85, $95 or whatever to go get a booster box that you're not going to get to use effectively, you know? So I do appreciate that part of it. It's just difficult, you know, to see that happen. And there's a lot of products where that happens sometimes. You know, just
I've played almost all of them, seems like.
So yeah, just one of those things, you know. But I figured I'd share that, you know, for those of you that do play the game, I do feel for you. It's a tough time. You know, something you were looking forward to kind of got ripped away. But I understand why. It just doesn't make it easier. We have some other news though. Because I've had a few people ask me about it, so I figured, you know what, I'm just going to include it here just so we can talk about it. Get it out the way. Because this
people,
is one of those things where...
People are talking.
I definitely don't have the same opinion as a lot of people. And I know that makes people mad, but let's just talk about the VIP Double Masters boosters. They're $100. You get 4 to a box. Which, I will start saying this, like anybody who's been around a sports card shop, like, this ain't a new thing in collectibles. Exactly. And for those of you that don't know, there are literally, I can't even say boxes, they're just packs that'll be like $1,000. And it's literally a thing that comes in a nice case, and it's going to have a thing that's got like some game-worn jersey or an autographed card or whatever. And that's, it's, sometimes it's a thing, not even like 3 things in the box. So there is some crazy stuff out there in the collectible worlds that people will pay for. Like, there are special sets where, like, each pack has, like, a thing, and they're $200 a pack, and there's, like, 8 in a box. Like, that's a thing people do. So when people are like, I don't know why Wizards is doing this, because there's a market out there.
Mm-hmm. They did their research. They're trying to figure out exactly how much we'll pay for these pieces of cardboard. And it's their job to figure that out.
Now, I'm not saying we all need to go buy $100 boosters, but I know why they're out there.
Yeah. I'm not buying a one, but I get the market.
I'm not saying I won't buy one, because I might buy one just for some views on YouTube.
That's true. Content creators, it's hard to say, oh, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, you will.
I might.
For a video.
I don't know. I might. But the thing is, people are like, oh, well, it's just making Magic so expensive. And I was like, no, it's not. There is nothing in that booster. Okay, first off, let's have the real talk to start with. Magic is very much a luxury product. Any collectible, any hobby that you're going to spend more than, let's say on the course of the year, you average more than $50 a month, that's a luxury product. Whether we say it or not, whether you look at it that way or not, whether you're like, well, investment, I can resell stuff, whatever, doesn't matter. It is a luxury product. And let's just call it what it is. So to expect there to not be luxury items or luxury things or whatever just doesn't make a lot of sense. But everything that's available in those, at least from a gameplay standpoint, all of the game pieces are available in the other boosters. And yes, these boosters are a little more because they're doing the double rare, double foil, whatever. But even then, they're all reprints. And here's the interesting thing, and I don't... before anybody goes blah blah, Daquan's talking about the professor, whatever. I'm not taking shots at the professor here. The thing I'm saying though is, if you ever watch his Booster Box videos, one of the things he always tells his audience is he doesn't believe you should buy boosters for value anyway. He believes you buy boosters for booster draft. That's it. Otherwise, go buy singles. That's what he tells people in all his videos, right?
Yeah.
But then there are videos that people support, and he's even talking about, it's like, well, Wizards making $100 boosters terrible. I'm like, why? If you're already telling people not to buy boosters, does it even matter? Like, you know what I mean? Like, if the goal is, like, don't buy boosters for value, then, like, cool, then just don't go buy the $100 booster. Because at the end of the day, like, these packs existing between Double Masters and the Double Masters VIP is going to bring down prices on the other singles anyway. So some of the cards in these, and some of these are expensive. Some of them are $100, some are $50, $20, $70, all over the place, right? They're all largely in the rare and mythic space, valuable reprints. Especially if you're a Commander player. This is like getting a free Commander Master set. Like, just not free, but like in the middle of the year, just getting a bonus set. And those prices coming down still make it cheaper for you to play Magic. Like, in some ways, the people with the money are making it cheaper for those with less money to be able to play. Because Wizards gets to line their pockets. These people get to go get their rare, foil, border list, alternate art, whatever, because we have like 20 versions of some stuff now. But they get to get whatever rare thing they want. And cool, you can still go get the cheap game piece you've been wanting for your Commander deck. That card you've been looking at that's been $50, well, now it might be like $20. And that's a lot more affordable. Now, is it the double rare, super exclusive, shiny autograph, whatever? No, it's not. But you can still play Magic with it. But for people to say, like, this is what's pushing people out of the game, like, no, that's not what's pushing people out of the game. It's not. And I can tell you, talking to other retailers and stuff, they're selling them. Some are worried they're not going to get enough of either of the boosters, the regular ones or the VIP ones.
Now, one concern people have brought up is that it makes it more akin to gambling for people who, you know, okay, they're thinking they're just going to keep buying this pack, thinking they're going to get the lottery ticket card that's going to make the $100 pack worth buying. And of course, we've all cracked enough booster packs to know 9 times out of 10, you're not getting the thing you want.
Yeah, but that's a you problem. You know what I mean? And I'm saying that to be rude, but it's like, like I said, I'll probably go buy one. But if I go buy one and I open $50 worth of cards, well, that's a me problem. You know what I mean? Like, I know what I'm walking into.
Yeah, it is, but I mean, it is still a problem.
To what level, though? What's the problem?
I mean, gambling is a serious addiction, and it's one thing if you gambled, let's say, $5 or $10 that you probably should have spent on something else. Gambling, let's say, $300 or $400, okay, now you can't pay your rent.
But you know what? I can tell you from experience, in my store, those same people just come do it, and they just buy booster boxes. They're going to buy literally whatever is available.
Oh, I get that.
And they're going to spend that same amount of money regardless. Like, it's the truth. I mean, I've literally had to talk people out of purchases because they're just going to spend what they're going to spend. And it doesn't matter. Like, whatever the next thing is, they just want to buy the next thing. But, like I'm saying, like, that's not necessarily even the argument most people are making. They're saying it's making the game more expensive and driving people away. And it just doesn't add up to me. Now, will there be some, like, more rare versions? Yes. But even now, I don't go buy, like, the super expensive foil version of a thing. I haven't. Like, if you see my Commander deck, if there is a foil in there, it's literally because it just happens to be the version that I own. Like, it's just a bunch of regular cards. Hell, some of those Commander cards I just had for, like, 20 years. And I'm not in any way moved or motivated to go get the super rare things. That's there for somebody else.
I'm the same way. Most of my decks don't cost me $100, let alone, you know, a single booster pack.
Yeah. So, like, I get it. It's there for some. And honestly, like I said, those people buying those make the other stuff cheaper for us.
And I mean, I agree that I personally have no problem with existing. I'm just bringing out some of the things I've heard people bring up on various social media.
Yeah, so I get it. People kind of want to be bothered by it, and I get it because it's a good talking point, you know, $100 booster pack or whatever, but it literally just doesn't even move my meter as a concern. Like, I get it. You want that special whatever, whatever that's in there, you know, alternate art, whatever. And now you're mad because the only way you can get it is in the $100 booster. But don't gamble on the $100 booster. Just wait till it's out and available on one of these websites or on eBay or whatever, and then just go buy it for like $30. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even understand the argument people are making. Because it's almost like until every single thing is available in a $4 booster, blah, 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 then it's like, but then at that point, the argument is, well, I bought all this stuff and it doesn't have any value. So now they're mad about that. And the truth is, being honest, like, there is a reality that isn't that far-fetched, really, to understand that some of these may end up being worth significantly more than that $100 per booster. Because if there's not that many of them out there, and some number of them don't even get opened, well, then the value could be, who knows? It could be through the roof on some of this, right? So none of us know what's even actually going to happen with this product. They could all be junk because nobody cares, and the average value of the booster is like $50 to $60 each. Or those could be the best, coolest things ever that the high-end players want to buy, and they're worth $300 a booster. So I'm willing to ride this out, see what the first experiment works like, because I can't even make a good prediction on what's going to happen.
I will say this, this to me is another counter argument to the theory that Wizards wants out of paper magic. It seems to me Wizards is trying to figure out exactly how much they can charge you for a magic card.
Sure. And as a business, it doesn't surprise me. It is a very capitalistic move. But again, they're a U.S. business, so that doesn't surprise me.
If anybody thought Wizards and or Hasbro was in this because they just love us so much, sorry to shatter your dreams.
Oh, for real. For real, for real. Like, I know the game. I guess maybe that's it. Maybe I just understand the game and the economics or whatever, so it just doesn't bother me.
I'm not saying there's not plenty of people inside that company that love you, love playing card games, but the people making the decisions want your money. Yeah.
That's American Business 101. So yeah, like, am I excited about $100 boosters? No. You know, would I like some of those versions to be available some other way? Yeah, kind of. But am I mad that the $100 boosters exist? No. Like, and you sound like you're in the same boat. Like, it exists, but you don't really care. You ain't going to buy it.
It's not the way I experience Magic. I play, you know, the janky tribal and or combo decks, and very rarely do any of those pieces get, as I said, most of my decks probably only cost $30 or $40 at most, because they're the purest jank.
Fair.
But again, if somebody else wants to pay $100 for a booster and it allows me to keep running my happily ever after deck in peace, I'm happy with it.
And that's exactly it. You know, I think when it comes down to it, I'm good with it because if I do decide to build some other paper Magic decks, the card prices are going to come down because double masters exist, whether it's regular boosters or VIP boosters. So I'm kind of good with it. That's been the result every time there's been a master set. Now, there's some versions where, like, the foil out of that master set or the mythic out of that master set, like, it'll be expensive, but the other versions have come down. So I'm willing. Now, they go up over time again, but there's at least a moment where they drop down. If you want it, you can snag it, get your hands on it. So, like I said, I'm willing to at least watch some graphs and see what happens over the next 3 to 6 months and see how it plays out, especially with people like just now getting back to work in some places, you know, kind of seeing how the economics of just everything around it work. There was one more thing we want to talk about before we get into some other stuff, but there was another product, Jumpstart, that came out. Most people weren't able to buy enough at their retail stores because, well, COVID sucks when you're trying to produce stuff right now. So not enough got out to stores. Everybody sold out very quickly. The few places that didn't, they're probably out by the time this goes live. There are another wave coming, and Wizard says they're going to keep it available for a while because it's kind of like the good mid-level product that they want to have available for a bit. But it was available on Arena, and people played quite a bit of it. You know, I thought it was pretty fun, you know, for
it is 2000. Fun. It's a fun format.
Oh, so you got to play some too?
I did. I think I have a tree-hugging tree-hugging predator deck, I think is the thing I came up with.
Nice. I think I did it twice. I got lightning and predators, which was not very good. And then I got elves and dinosaurs, which was very good. So, yeah, I think the format's neat, though. For 2,000 gold, you get to get two decks, which is almost like buying like 2.5 packs, effectively. Yeah. You get unique cards that are only available in the set that are good for historic on Arena. And you get to have a fun time. Like, it's faster than drafting. It doesn't blow up your resources, you know, as far as your gold or your gems or whatever. You can produce 1,000 gold plus a day on Arena with minimal effort. So at minimum, every other day, you could just go play, buy another couple of packs of Jumpstart and play again, which is a good value. And you don't even have to buy a new one. You could play infinite with the ones you get if you wanted to, if you just want to play Jumpstart Limited. So I think it's a cool event. I hope it stays around for a while. Right now, it's scheduled to be on until the middle of August, I think like August 16 or something. But I'd like to see it extended as a thing that people can always do or play or whatever and just have an option to, especially as people come on later. It'd be a cool way to acquire some of those cards.
Yeah.
You know, just to try it out and then just build up your pool a little bit. But a few people seem like they don't necessarily like the randomness of it, which I kind of understand. But for me, I enjoy it as a good alternative even to playing draft or sealed on a personal level. So I'm definitely a fan.
This is something my kids, for example, would be more likely to play with me as opposed to, you know, the construction of a regular Magic deck or even draft. So it's because it's really similar to Smash Up, which is a game that they love, where you just take, you know, time travelers and zombies and make time traveling zombies.
Yeah, it's very similar to that. But yeah, if you haven't tried out Jumpstart, recommend it. It's affordable. It's mostly fun. If you get two decks that don't work together, it's a little unfortunate, but you can, they're good enough that even with the one, like I said, I had the Lightning Predators or whatever, and it was not that good, but I still played like 6 or 7 matches with it and was still able to get my two wins. Now the second win was a struggle, but I was able to get my second win. So you can win with all of them. I mean, at the very least, odds are just going to put you with somebody else who also got a bad combo. Yeah. And there's a chance you're going to beat them, right? So And the fact that you could play infinite means you can get to at least your two win, get your two rewards, and enjoy it. So we are going to run a little bit long because we have a couple other things we want to talk about. So we're going to move ahead with a couple of quick announcements. First off, as far as you don't know, I'm going to be doing coverage, as we mentioned earlier, this weekend with the Players Tour Final with Wizards of the Coast and the MPL. That's going to be really cool. I get the rookie shift, so like I said, I'm only going to do maybe a round or two each day. But, hey, you know, it's a first step, so we'll see what happens. And I'm also going to be on Covert Go Blues live stream on Twitch next week, the 30th, I believe, that Thursday. And we're going to be doing some Deck Doctor stuff. So you can come by a stream, submit your deck, if you want to get some help live on stream. So that'd be fun to do. And, you know, I think I'm going to skip. We were going to do a dinner table talk thing. And you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm going to get into this. I'm going to get into this a little bit.
We're skipping it. Wait, we're doing it.
Yeah. I was going to skip. But this feels like something I was going to say for another episode, which is kind of almost why I backed out of it. But you know what? I'm just going to put this out here.
He's about to get off on a rant here, folks.
Oh, for sure. And I don't necessarily want to spend too much time on this because we have something I want to introduce that you get to speak a lot about. So I want to give you time. But remember how we talked about how after all the protests happened and all the stuff with George Floyd and all the things on social media and all that, and we were getting all this attention, both for the show and our individual projects. And I kept saying, like, there was this thing looming over. And I'm like, well, how long is it going to last? Because I expect somewhere around 4 to 6 weeks, it's going to taper off, and then we'll be back to normal. And I'll be damned if it wasn't almost right on time. Even our show, we are back to basically, I would say, like a 3 to 5% up over where we were pre-protest. So almost to the minute, it came in to where, like, the numbers started tapering back down. And when I've been talking to people and I'm saying, yeah, you know what? They're like, oh, you're getting these opportunities and you're getting to do this thing and people are coming and watching you on Twitch now and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, but I have to hustle. I have to double down. I have to do this extra work because I don't know how long this moment's going to last. This is exactly why. Because everybody was having a moment and there was all this awareness and it was an aha moment for a bunch of people. And it was top of mind and the news was talking about it and it was all over social media. But the minute that tapered off, the effect was immediately seen. Even now, there's people still protesting that you don't even hear about in some cities. You know, there's still major injustices happening that unless you're following the right people and you're on the right groups, you don't hear about them. And that's reflected all the way down to projects like ours. That it's easy for people to go, you know what? Yeah, maybe I don't have to listen to that this week. Yeah, okay, it's cool. They're still doing a thing. Good for them. Not going to share that post. Like the urgency and the concern when everything is right back out the door and we're back to square one. Not a surprise, mind you.
You predicted it, as you said, pretty much to the minute.
Like I said, we knew it was coming. So, you know, I've been tracking the numbers. I'm not disappointed. I mean, it would have been nice if we could have stayed at whatever it was, a near like 80% growth or whatever, you know, would have been great. But I knew it wasn't for real. And that's tough to have that reality of like, you want to have faith in people. Like you want to really be like, no, we finally did it. You know, we're having some success. But then like deep down inside, you're like, man, no, I know better. But I hope I'm wrong. But sadly, we weren't wrong. Now, granted, we still saw some growth. So like I said, 3 to 5% on any given day, I'll take that. Yeah. That's where, but that's the slow, steady, expected growth over that period of time. That's not the explosive, hey, people are finally paying attention and listening to what we have to say growth. And I'm not trying to guilt trip anybody here. Like, you know, when I say, well, now I know people aren't clicking on things. They're not sharing our post or whatever. Like, it's nice if you do it, but I don't want you to do it out of guilt. Do it because you feel the need to. Do it because you want to support the message. Do it because you want to support us and we're good guys, you know, but don't do it just out of guilt because honestly, that's why all those people came and listened. That's why all those people downloaded. That's why all those people were sharing it because they had their moment of guilt. Very likely why I'll say, and they were trying to allay their guilt and saying, you know what? I'm going to do my part to educate myself. I'm going to do this and share this with people. And then once they felt fulfilled about it, they were done. And that's just sad, but that's where we are. But I thought it was at least worth sharing with people. So now, the part I want to get to for Brian is this question comes from our Discord. And by the way, if you want to ask a question, you can get access to our Discord by being a patron on our Patreon. You can just go to patreon.com/colorofmagic. And for as little as $2 a month, one, you will get a handwritten postcard that I write myself, and it will come to you in the mail, and then you get access to our Discord, and you can come hang out with people, talk about random different subjects, and in this case, ask a question. So what came through is somebody asked particularly for Brian, how do you keep three kids entertained and soon to be educated during this whole isolation stay at home thing.
I definitely got to say, as I've seen some of you know about the sales numbers, the Nintendo Switch is a godsend. It's definitely an important piece of the puzzle. And in addition to video games, we have a lot of board games. I have games, you know, for two people, three people, games with solo play. And then sometimes, you know, we just say, we just get in the car and we go maybe to a park or, you know, just to whatever. Go and maybe get drive through. And sometimes we sit in our car and eat and just talk about what's been going on. How's your day going? How you feeling? And it's, you know, when people talk about the education thing, like, I'm telling them, and now I think they really realize what Daddy's talking about. This is history. You will be telling your grandchildren about the year 2020, because we've never seen anything like this. And, you know, kids understand more than we think they understand. Like, they get it. Because, heck, they've all, you know, at this point, even my youngest child has almost 10 years on the planet, and she knows within the course of her 9 years, she has never seen things like this. They've never canceled her school for months before. So they understand this is an unusual time.
Let me ask you, Brian, like how, like when your kids go out, like, especially for say like your 10-year-old, does it resonate with her when she walks around and sees everybody wearing a mask?
She absolutely understands it. Cause, you know, it just so happens that science is, you know, really one of my kids' favorite subjects. So they get, hey, wear a mask. The odds of you getting sick are a lot less, and they don't understand why adults are pitching such a big fit about wearing the masks.
Okay, well, that's good. I mean, that's awesome, actually, that your kids are into science, truthfully. That'll make your life easier later, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they love, you know, Animal Planet is constant rotation around here. Just they love to see how animals live and, you know, how they create societies and which animals, you know, which animals have spouses and which animals are just out there being animals.
I feel you. So what type of relationship do you have with your kids? Because I think that may matter for some listeners too. Like, do you have a thing where y'all just talk about everything openly? Do you keep everything kind of like age gated for different stuff? Or like, because I've known you and your kids for a while, but I've not had seen you like have personal like dad child conversations.
We really do. We're especially over the past several months, if things have just been bizarre, we've sat down and had just good long talks about, hey, you know, how are y'all feeling? How is this going for you? Because it's been wild, you know, just what.
That's cool, man. That's cool. Because,
and as I said, I always, you know, find they end up understanding way more about things than I thought they would understand at their respective ages.
That I agree with you there totally. You know, I have done many projects and worked on many charity things and whatever where kids were involved. And I'm constantly amazed by how much adults are stunned or shocked or whatever at how much a child can do or how much a child understands. And usually it's because you've never given them the opportunity.
Yeah.
Like you've not had the conversation with them to even know what they understand or what they grasp or don't or what makes sense to them. But the minute you do, you're like, oh no, they get it.
Because, you know, those of us that remember when we went to school, I mean, I think algebra wasn't something they really started hardcore trying to teach us until about seventh or eighth grade. Now they're introducing algebraic concepts in really second and third grade at this point.
Oh, dude, I remember about, I guess this would have been about 6 or 8 years ago, being shocked to find out that like some of my friends, like second graders or third, they all have like email addresses, like they know how to use the internet. I'm like, whoa, yeah. All right. That's just a thing now.
At this point, almost everybody that has, you know, that has the bandwidth to do it is going to have to, because you're going to need tablets to go to school.
Oh yeah, that's definitely a thing. So how are you guys, are you making plans already for educating at home?
Yeah.
Or are you?
Brayden has asthma, so we can't risk it, you know?
Fair.
Because if he gets COVID, it's gonna be extremely bad.
So what does that look like for you as far as like contact with the schools or preparations or supplies, or I don't even know because I don't have kids at the house.
It was it hit everybody hard. You know, it just nobody was prepared. It was something that obviously was being talked about, but to have to really over spring break is where stuff hit critical mass and they realized, okay, we're gonna have to start going online, and then we had to try to figure out how to get everybody computers. And by the way, everybody's parents are not computer literate. Some kids are getting raised by their grandparents. Some kids have parents who English is not their first language. These are all challenges that in a lot of cases weren't thought about until a local school district, they went out, you know, because a lot of their kids just kind of dropped out of contact. So when they went out there, they found out not only did kids not have internet, kids' phones were off, you know, because parents aren't working. And if you figure out which utilities are going to get cut off, you know, okay, phones, you know, phone gets cut off before lights get cut off, obviously, or internet gets cut off before, you know, the lights or before you don't pay the rent. People are having to make those decisions.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
And
man,
teachers are talking about just how eye-opening it is.
Yeah. I mean, if people are putting spots and that's how you're doing education, yeah, that adds a whole other layer to it.
Some kids, the only way they eat, you know, what, or basically they're, because even our kids, they're taking, you know, two of your three meals are at school under ordinary circumstances. But for kids who aren't as, you know, and by the way, we're not rich, but for kids who are struggling, for families who are really struggling, that's the budget. You rely on the fact that your kids are eating two of their three meals someplace else. You may not be able to afford to give them that third meal. So school is such a huge part of that.
Yeah, that's, man, I feel like that's a whole other subject too, yeah, with like school lunches and kids. And man, I have so much to say on that, but that's not where we're at right now.
It'd be a 3-hour podcast at that point.
For sure. But yeah, dude, thanks for that. I think that's cool. So yeah, if you ever want to submit questions, we have a, I guess, sub Discord, I don't know, like a sub channel in our Discord that you can go and submit questions. And yeah, if you're lucky, we'll get to read one of them here on the air and respond to it. Good question though. I like that.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So Brian, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you when you're not doing the podcast?
Okay, I am DL Caesar on Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. And if you want to see my cute little scientific kids, our family channel is Alan's Ever After on YouTube.
And as always, you can find me under Power Dragon, PowerDragn, on most social networks, but particularly on YouTube every day, just about. And you can find me streaming on Twitch on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, 9 p.m. to midnight Pacific time. But yeah, I think that's going to wrap it up for this week. And as usual, I want to just tell everybody, wherever you're listening from, whenever you're listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And seriously, wash your hands, wear your mask, stay safe. Things are still getting bad in some spots. Just take care of yourself. If you'd like to further support Color of Magic, you can find us on our website at colorofmtg.com. We also have a Patreon if you'd like to donate, other patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook under Color of Magic. And if you want to follow us along at Twitter, you can find us there at colorofmtg. And as always, please share the podcast around to your friends, your network, people you think might enjoy it, because every little bit helps as we're trying to increase our user base.